We're speaking now with Joshua Torres, and he is a candidate for Sandpoint City Council. Joshua, I want to say thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you.
Well, let's start by getting to know you. Tell us a bit about yourself. How long have you lived here? How did you wind up in Sandpoint? And also what you consider qualifications for holding elective office, your education or work experience or any other types of experience you have.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I really appreciate your time. So I moved to Sandpoint in 2017 in order to co-parent my daughter. I'm originally from Denver, Colorado. I'd been coming up here back and forth since 2012, just kind of understanding about the northern world and trying to see if I can live here. And I finally took the toll in 27 to make that happen. At that time, my daughter was going to Farman Stidwell, the school locally here, and I found an apartment within a couple blocks away. I came in a situation to where I didn't have a lot of money, and so I needed to find a job immediately, and I worked at a company, our retirement home, that was just within a couple of blocks of where I lived. And that was tough work. I've never done that, coming from a corporate sales guy job to being in that position was really humbling, but it was the reality of what I needed to do in order to be able to be up here and work, because where I come from, I do technology staffing and services and things like that, and that just wasn't available in this location. So while I've been able to watch my daughter grow in this community, and it's just been absolutely wonderful. She got into soccer, so I started reffing soccer, because I grew up traveling around the USA playing soccer for a very strong organization. I started getting more interested in coaching soccer, so I was able to coach some young kiddos, as well as guide my child on individual training that worked out well. She ended up winning state in soccer her freshman year. And so she's just been really successful. I'm really proud of what's become of her. And, that all came from, I feel like, having a father involved in her life and showing her the tough things. I ended up getting a job with Schweitzer while I was working with the retirement home. And that's what really kind of shifted my understanding of the community. I realized that everybody in this community needs to work two jobs in order to survive. Yes, it's one of the greatest places to live, but it does require work to be here. So I started at guest services. I've been up on the mountain for roughly 7 years. It's a community. Those are my friends. Those are my people. That is just a place where I love to be. And so working up there and then always doing some sort of other job in the community or a remote job as well. And so I've been in the town for quite some time. And I guess the question was,
what are some of the qualifications you'd cite from either, well, you've given us some of your work experience, education or other groups you volunteered with?
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So my background, I have a bachelor's degree in behavioral science, psychology emphasis. I have a Spanish minor from Metro State University. So right now I'm currently a ski technician at Schweitzer and in technology sales with Vive Broadband. I also have experience in conservation policy and education through work of the National Wildlife Federation, the Colorado Wildlife Federation, and Afuera Outdoors. Additionally, I have run my own business in technology staff augmentation and help grow others, gaining firsthand insight on the challenges of local entrepreneurs face. So my background, a lot of that policy work came from me flying out to Washington, D.C., and sitting down with senators representing hunters, anglers, birders, and hikers on one was the Farm Bill, how to get that in conjunction with everybody that's completely or throughout the whole nation and make that livable for everybody to be happy with. And it turned out pretty well. I feel like by doing a lot of those functions helped me better understand policy and made me want to start, helping build it and grow it and make it.
Okay. Well, that's kind of my follow-up question. Why are you running for city council? Because you want to get involved in that way.
I love that, as I've touched more into the world, I like it. I feel like I'm good at it. But when all said and done, I recognized when I went to a city council meeting that I spoke up at, that, the locals' voices, those people that have those two jobs that are in this community that don't have time to show up to those city council meetings and get their voices, those are the voices that aren't being heard. And that's really what it's coming down to, is me being able to be that voice for that community of folks that don't have time for politics. They don't have time for anything other than showing up to make sure their children have food on the table and they are at work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to ask you what you think the biggest issues facing the city are. But first, you know, how do you think the current council and city administration is doing?
I think council has taken important steps, like putting the wastewater bond on the ballot. But there's room for improvement in how decisions are made and communicated. Too often, locals feel like outcomes are predetermined. I want to bring more transparency and ballast to ensure residents see their voices reflected in policy.
Okay. Well, what would you say the biggest issues are that are facing the city at present, and why you think they're the biggest, and how you might like to tackle them?
Sure. Managing growth fairly. Sandpoint's growing, but locals shouldn't be left footing the bill. If new development doesn't pay its fair share, families and small businesses will. Secondly, the wastewater treatment plant. Our plant is over 70 years old with parts from the 1940s and 50s. It's already had permit violations and must be rebuilt. How we pay for it will directly impact every resident and business. And then three, downtown vitality, parking and events. Parking shortages and restrictions on events like the CHAF 150 directly affect the ability of small businesses and workers to thrive in the character that makes Sandpoint unique.
Okay, well, let's dig in on these, since there's some real specific things that the city's been doing on managing growth and just the whole growth in general. The council approved local impact fees being increased in January, going up in January. Do you think that was a good move by the council? And do you think they should have waited till January to get those fees increased?
I feel now the date that is set is fair. They had the opportunity to make that happen, and I wasn't around during that time.
Potential developers, specifically probably the Averill Hospitality project to rebuild the hotel at City Beach. Yeah,
I feel like now that deadline is solid. Could they have done it earlier? Yes, but I do welcome the Averill Hospitality into the community. I think it's going to be excellent for the community, so I'm hoping that this impact fee and that Averill community or hospitality will work in conjunction to make all work together. So, but I am for impact fees. I like I said before, I don't believe that the residents of this community should be flipping the bill for the things that are coming into this community. That's, you know, you come in, you got to pay for your part, whether it's the water or the parking or what have you, the infrastructure that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And with the wastewater plant, you identified that as a big issue. I think we all know about that. There is going to be a proposed bond on the November ballot. There'll be, so voters in the city will be voting on that as well as the city council candidates. It's for up to $130 million. Mm-hmm. So do you support the proposed bond, and why or why not?
On wastewater, I support passing a bond so we can access state and federal grants and low-interest loans. Without a bond, rates can spike 600% in 5 years, and that's unacceptable. With the bond, rates still rise, but by about 106%. My focus will be phasing construction, fixing stormwater infiltration first, and ensuring every outside dollar lowers local bills.
Mm-hmm. And by passing the bond, the city will be able to go out and try to get some grant funding as well. So it could bring it down from that projected.
And that is truly the hope. But if we don't even pass it, we don't even have that option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you mentioned downtown vitalities, particularly as it pertains to parking. So how do you think downtown is doing in terms of development? We have a couple... You know, there's one big hole in the ground right there at Bridge and First Avenue. that has been there since that building burned down two or three mm-hmm. years ago. And then there's another, you know, kind of vacant, prominent space right beside the Cedar Street Bridge. So, I mean, this is a place where the private marketplace, you know, really kind of dictates what's going to be built there, when it's going to be built there. But what are some steps you see that the city can do to enhance downtown vitality?
You know, parking has to be managed with workers and businesses in mind, not just visitors. I understand we do have a pothole fixer for the city that the mayor told me that he thinks is excellent. So I'm hoping that that can be focused on that as well. But with regards to like the parking meter and the downtown businesses and things like that, you know, we sat down in a meeting with, you know, a lot of the businesses in the community, with the mayor and with the planner. And, you know, really what it came down to was the parking meters approach for the community wasn't best a good suit for us, a good fit for us. And what we come down to is the solution was more so of the enforcement side of it. We're really not enforcing these scenarios, but what's the reason why? Because we also have these officers that are not necessarily going to be there for those 2 hours to ensure that they're seeing that that person's been parking there. So we need to have a plan of attack to ensure enforcement of parking, and that will bring money immediately to the city as opposed to investing in parking meters and trying to build that whole process. This brings money to the town quick. And, you know, my daughter works downtown, and I understand that she'll park closer than others. But I'll tell you what, if she gets a ticket, she's not going to be parking close anymore because I'm not going to allow it.
Or make her pay that ticket.
Yeah, she's going to pay the ticket.
Yeah, she ends up going backwards on what she's making, right?
Exactly. So,
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an issue that downtown parking ends up being taken by some of the employees if there's not any enforcement of those parking, those 2 hour, 3 hour parking limits.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And so it's like it's a community event. Like everybody needs to work together. And I think we can make this work for sure.
Well, one parking issue that came up and got a lot of public comment, at least on the social media, was the two residential buildings for apartments that are being built on Church Street. Mm-hmm. They're going to be four stories. Going to be a total of between the two of them. The last plan I saw was going to be 89 different units. And they don't have to, because they're within that downtown district where there's no parking requirements on new development, they don't have to provide any parking, and they're not going to provide any parking. Do you think things need to be changed to account for residential units like that, that will, you know, put at least probably 100 cars out on our streets?
This is literally the reason the city council meeting that I showed up to. I live right off of 4th and Pine. They're going to be putting those facilities within a block away from where I live. And right now, I've currently got outside parking coming in from the restaurants that have just recently been there. They're doing really successful, and I'm really excited for them. But what happens is those people park in literally in front of my place. So mm-hmm. now if we add this to the situation, it's going to cause me, I won't even be able to park at my own house for at least a block down the road because unless I hold my spot. So I'm super nervous about what's happening with this parking situation, you know, and what I went and said is you guys are trying to work with the businesses on making parking solutions here in the city. And then you're going to go ahead and put a 90 apartment complex with no parking spots. And so how does that make sense with how you're working with us? And so my goal is to obviously this one specifically is my eyes are focused on because mm-hmm. it affects me directly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I guess that it's kind of a done deal with these two apartments, but going forward, the city needs to adjust its its downtown parking exemption to take into account that a residential development can put an awful lot of cars that need basically 24-hour parking.
That, and I don't know if you drive through this community, but right when they just put that new traffic setup, right? So they're going to be turning left right into that spot, and that's going to you know, there's a stoplight that already slows it down from when you're trying to come right into the community. And when those people...
At Pine and Fifth?
Yeah, right there where they split. So I'm seeing that that's going to be an interesting scenario where those people are going to try to park or be looking for parking, driving around in circles, trying to find parking spots while this flow of traffic is going to try to happen, and I'm going to be curious to see how that looks as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, were there any other issues that you, I have a few things that I could ask about, but are there any other issues that you identified as high priority for you?
I support the Chaffee 150.
The Chafe one.
I can't ever say that right. The Chafe 150, and I'll work with council to find legal solutions so it can continue strong.
So that, to give some context there, the Chafe 150 has been holding its after-ride party at the Edgewater, but the Edgewater is going to be under construction, so they're asking for a permit to have beer and wine.
Correct.
At the City Beach as part of that after-ride party, and Chafe's been going on for about 15 years now, I think. Never been an issue because it was held right adjacent to City Beach at the Edgewater, but that won't be available to it anymore.
Correct, yeah. Correct.
And so they've asked the city, can we have an exemption or can you modify the rules for City Beach to allow us a special event to
correct.
Have beer and wine?
And
you'd like to see that continue.
Absolutely.
In some fashion. Okay.
For me, recreation, because I've been a soccer coach, I've done every single activity, whether it's rock climbing, fly fishing, backpacking, hiking. The reason why people are in this town is because of all those wonderful things, and, you know, disc golf and all that stuff. So I appreciate the recreation that happens in this town. I appreciate the groups, Pondere, Peddlers, and 7B Disc Golf. Like, all these groups that are just bringing community together to do things. Me, as a soccer coach, I love doing a lot of these things. I know that we've got the Russell Center situation going on right now. Man, I think that's just a great opportunity. I also have, like, hunting and angling background, too, of training kids. And so, I mean, just a great opportunity to get kids in there, whether it's, you know, hunting classes to do, you know, fly fishing lessons, or, you know, getting indoor soccer going on in there. I don't know necessarily how the membership thing works with the city and the community, but I do understand that that is a beautiful building that is can be utilized to its fullest, I think, just by allowing recreation to just pour in there. So, mm-hmm.
So right now the it's for court sports, specifically for pickleball and tennis. But when you say recreation, you mean other types of sports have access to that facility?
Indoor soccer. I feel like from a soccer player's perspective, I've played on every single surface on the ground you can possibly do. And mm-hmm. you could definitely play on that, basketball. But also, like, you know, like indoor archery with, like, you know, safety things, you know, you can do those things. You just need space. And sometimes, you know, this community doesn't offer warm places in the winter to do fun things for kids. And that would be an excellent place for that. So, mm-hmm.
So broaden the usage to different user groups.
Yes. And I mean, it's here, it's ours. Let's use it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's a recreation oriented question. So, the lifeguard stands at City Beach were removed this summer because they didn't have a lifeguard program. The city has said they've had, you know, a lot of trouble getting kids to sign up to be lifeguards, as has happened for many years previously. Right. And now the stands are actually up for sale as surplus. That would seem to indicate the city currently doesn't intend to try to get the lifeguard program going again. And I guess my question would be, do you think that lifeguard program is important enough for the city to try to make it happen by maybe working with the swim team, or maybe the Longbridge Swim, which brings in several hundred swimmers?
Sure.
And specifically supports swim lessons for kids. So, you know, we don't see kids that have trouble in the water.
I work out at the YMCA, and I see the swim team practicing there every early morning. I know that they've worked in the past with trying to develop those lifeguards in order to be a part of the city. So I know Emily, that's worked there, would always be happy to train them, right? It's just a matter of getting them there. And so my deal is, gosh, we've had two mishaps just as of recent in our lake, right? And those were adults, mm-hmm. and children spend a lot of time at that beach. And yeah, there's enough people at that beach to keep an eye on your kid. But the reality is, I don't want to trust somebody else to like keep an eye on my kid. And if somebody's being paid in order to do that, I know they're at least doing a job and a function, just like the guy that's doing the parking tickets, right? Like, we sometimes you don't need them, you don't want to pay them because it's a process that or you don't think is important. But you know, then when somebody drowns, then we got a problem. Mm-hmm. So like, I worry. People come from all around the United States of America to our city beach. And if we can't show that we are a safe beach, it's not a good look.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another kind of recreation related question here. So a number of years back, the city purchased some property off of Baldy that's now used for a disc golf course. That property is actually purchased originally because there was plans to maybe relocate the wastewater treatment plant out there. And the city's obviously decided to go a different way. They want to use the current site and renovate that. What should happen with that property that's off Baldy now? I think it's 20 plus acres that's currently used for a disc golf course, in your opinion.
Gosh, I really hope they keep it. It is. So I understand, you know, the development that's happening next door, but that place directly has had such an impact on me, my child, my relationships with other people. It's a place where you can just basically step outside for and go and do an activity, and it's all set up. I mean, it's perfectly set up for you to do it and play it. I've watched individuals in the community grow from being players to being board members to these groups, and I've just seen it thrive. And to see that property not continue to go where it's, but like continue to do what it's doing, would make me very sad. I know, like I said, I know this community is going to grow, but there's certain things that we really got to keep close to our hearts. And a lot of that has to do with recreation. And and that's what makes this town. And so, and I think that's like me and my daughter, like I said, have just had such wonderful games there. So.
Okay. So, other infrastructure needs. Obviously, streets and sidewalks are something everybody shares, whether they're a city resident or they come in to the city to do business here. Do you think the city is doing enough with their streets and sidewalks maintenance and improvement?
Okay. I know they are working very, very hard. Are they hitting all the spots? No, I don't think but they've definitely addressed a lot of the places where I drive around. Mm-hmm. And so I understand, you know, we've got a new machine in order to fix some of these things. It's just, as a city, that's responsibility is infrastructure. So it needs to be done that way. So, I'm happy to be critical of that fact that if there are issues and what's going on with that. So that's the best I can tell you there.
Okay. Well, we just have a couple more minutes. I will throw out a kind of a perennial issue here, which is having affordable housing for our workforce. Do you think there's any role the city should play in trying to provide for affordable housing here, and any ideas on how to accomplish that? And we only got about a minute and a half here.
I really like what Schweitzer did in Ponderay with their employee housing there. I think that something like that.
A large apartment.
Yep, I think if they could do something like that somewhere in the Sandpoint community, I think that would be excellent. And I guess I can just give you my last pitch before I go?
Sure.
Okay.
You bet.
I've lived the local challenges, working two jobs, raising a family here on council. I'll make growth pay its share, rebuild the wastewater plant responsibly, fix parking, and keep Sandpoint's future in the hands of locals.
Okay. And Joshua Torres, if people want to find out more about your campaign or get in touch with you to ask questions, how do they do that?
So my Instagram is Torres for Council, as well as Facebook. And then I just got my website up and running. Give me a break for a couple of days. I got to do some work on it, but it's torresforcouncil.com. And then torresforcouncil@outlook.com is my email.
Okay, and it's TORREZ.
That is correct.
For Council, F-O-R.
Yep. Okay. Oh, no, the number four. Sorry about
number
that.
Number four. Okay, so the website is TORREZ, number four, and then council.com.
Yep, and then my phone number, 208-645-8058.
Okay, well, Joshua Torres, candidate for Sandpoint City Council, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Appreciate you. Thank you.